Hallelujah. 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 We've come here. Shila bokosanda rabasiti anda rabasole yanda. Brescia la bakisa taramanite. Kisholomono rota. Tianda rabaki lenana. Yesholoborota damasiki anda salamanite. Kolo shororotana moshanda rabarete. Father, we thank you. We love you so much this morning. We're so glad to be numbered among those who call upon your name today. Father, we thank you for having a covenant that is strong, Lord, a mighty covenant, a blood covenant that we come to celebrate here today. Father, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that floods our soul because of what you did on the cross. We come to celebrate that today, Father, to literally celebrate our forgiveness, Lord, and celebrate you for giving the gift of forgiveness to us, Father. Father, we just honor you and we thank you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a spirit of worship here, and I love to walk into a service that is already just, you know, filled with the true worship of God. From grateful hearts, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise and honor in this place, Father. Thank you, Jesus. As you look to me in the time of trouble and worship me in spite of your circumstances and make me your true source, saith the Lord, you will see the mighty things that I have promised you. For I will move, I will move, I will move, I will move, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Every time I hear of God moving and manifesting himself in areas where people just make him their total source and they exalt the name of Jesus and they have their priorities so arranged that the kingdom of God is first in their life. And they're not just seeking miracles. These people receiving the supernatural are not just running after signs. They are seeking God. There's a big difference in following a minister's anointing for the signs and seeking God, amen, who is the author of all the signs in the first place. It's that hunger and thirst for righteousness that is driving true revival in our world today. And people are not just getting giddy over God. They are getting completely dedicated and sold out to him. Amen. Where true revival is, people are ready to lay down their life, not just, you know, get some experience. It's not about getting. It's about giving ourselves up to him and giving ourselves over to him. The wonderful thing about that is you can't outgive God. Can you say amen? If you offer yourself a living sacrifice, he's going to consume it, not in the sense of destroying it, but he's going to fill that sacrifice with the fire of his presence and his resurrection life in us. You know, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. So fruitfulness is tied to literally surrendering ourselves and our lives totally to Jesus Christ. It's not something that just happens. It's something that is born out of dying to self, dying to sin. Amen. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to righteousness. Can you say amen? Count yourself as dead when the temptation comes. Ignore it. Because you're not obligated to give in anymore. That's, we're not slaves to sin anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Is it not recorded in my word, awake to righteousness and sin not? This is the awakening that I want to send to America, saith the Lord. For righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I want to exalt your nation again, saith the Lord. But I must first awaken her to righteousness. Wake up, my people, for the hour is late. Let my spirit stir you, saith the Spirit of God. For I'm preparing a people to spearhead and be the vanguard of a great awakening, saith God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holiness is a word that is not used in modern even evangelical circles, and many leaders of great movements are demonstrating that they're still the slaves of sin. And no one can stand and boast in ourselves, but there is victory in Jesus. I want to reiterate that today. There is victory. You do not have to be defeated. And I thank God for everyone who has been restored after a great defeat. But the better life is not to be restored after great defeat, but to live in the victory that is given us in Christ. And I want you to know there are many people standing today, strong in Jesus, because grace is sufficient. His blood accomplished what we need for victory at the cross. Hallelujah. And if you want to live in victory, you can live in victory. You don't have to be a victim. Someone said, well, they had such a great anointing, the devil targeted them. Honey, listen, if we're going to give in to sin because we're targeted by the devil, we might as well all hang it up. We can never do anything great for God without failing and bringing a reproach on the name of Jesus. That's baloney. Can you say amen? The devil, in fact, the devil's targeted us all. Amen. Amen. Did you know when Jesus said to Peter, I read that and studied that in depth. When Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. That word you is not in the sense of just Peter, but you in the sense of all the disciples, all the followers of Jesus. Can you say amen? It wasn't just for Peter that Satan had singled out because he saw that God would make him a great apostle. No, it was all believers. You, literally here in the South, we would understand it is, amen, Satan has desired to have you all. Can you say amen? All of you. That's what it meant in the Greek. All of you. Everyone that names my name is Satan's target for defeat and destruction. He would love to sift you as the wheat. And here's the key to great victory. It's not just your faith standing alone, but standing firm in His intercessory ministry in your behalf. It began on the cross. It continues in the throne room in heaven. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Because He ever lives to do what? To make intercession for you and for me. There's where victory is. It's in His prayer, in my behalf. Him standing up when I am weak, in my behalf. Can you say? Him standing up strong when my faith is weak and shaken. Him standing in my behalf. He ever lives to do what? To just sit there and wait for us to get the victory and come home? No, He's standing, making intercession. Can you say amen? When the first Christian recorded martyr was dying, he looked and saw heaven open and said, I see Jesus standing. Can you say amen? Strengthen him, Father. Give him grace, Father. Let him see beyond this veil of tears, Father. Let him not fear death at all, Father. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? That's the key to Christian victory. Oh, don't patty cake. Give him a clap offering. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible said He is able to save them. He is still the Savior. You can never take credit for your salvation. Can you say amen in your victory? Hallelujah. He is able to save them to the uttermost, seeing that He ever lives to make intercession for them. Peter, Satan has desired to have all of you that he may sift you as the wheat. And here's intercession. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, where was Peter's faith going to be placed? In the fact that Jesus was interceding for him. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Jesus intercedes for me, Sean. If it wasn't for his intercession, Satan would have sifted me as wheat a long time ago, destroyed me and discredited me. But because the Lord stands up when I am weak, the Lord stands up. And my faith is in his standing up. Can you say, man, not in me being able to stand, but in him standing up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'd rather have faith in his intercession than my ability to not fail. Wouldn't you rather have faith in that today? I don't have any faith in my ability not to fail. But I have great faith in the one that is interceding in my behalf when I am weak. Praise God. And if you, by an act of your will and the use of your faith, choose to follow him instead of your flesh, him instead of Satan's schemes and temptations, praise God, all of heaven's resources become yours because he is praying for you. Amen. And he's doing it right now in the presence of God. And that gives me consolation and confidence to face whatever the future brings because I have representation in heaven. And he's showing the scars on his hands to the Father and saying, Father, have merciful on that poor fellow down there. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Father says on behalf of Jesus' sacrifice that I will forgive, I will raise up, I will sustain, I will give grace sufficient. God is so good. I'm here to celebrate that forgiveness. We're still on the theme of how to have a happy and blessed new year. And part of that, just fell right into place with this Holy Communion Sunday and where we're going to celebrate forgiveness today. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be forgiven because of his intercession? Amen. This mediator between God and man. Let's just pray today that the Lord will lead us. This is a rest Sunday tonight for me, and Brother Sean is going to be delivering the message, and we've come to appreciate his help here very, very much. And we appreciate Doug, our media minister. We appreciate Pamela, who helps get us going in the morning, jump starts us so I can preach without having to warm anybody up. Then you say, amen. She has the hard job. I got the easy job. I come in, y'all are worshiping. You worshipers that plow the ground for the seed to be planted. I got the easy stuff. It's so easy. Praise God. When people are worshiping the Lord, led into worship, and their hearts are open, it's so easy to plant that seed. Amen. He actually does the planting, but I present it. He plants it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Terry, thank you for mowing last week. And did you mow? All right. He didn't want to take credit for it. He's afraid pride would enter in, but I don't think he'll get too proud. We'll make him mow it again if he does. Amen. Humble him right back down. Praise the Lord. We didn't make him mow. We don't make people do anything here. We don't even take offerings. We receive them. Amen. Yeah. Sets a tone for it. Hallelujah. We help each other here because we're all here for one purpose, and there's no big shot here. And amen. I know I look like a big shot this morning, but I'm really not. Amen. There's no big shots here because I wear a coat and tie. Don't make me a big shot. Amen. We're just followers of Jesus Christ today, and I love him with all of my heart. And I want to serve him this year better than I served him last year or any other year of my life. I want this to be the best year of following Jesus Christ as a bell sheep. The only thing that qualifies me to be your pastor is me following closely Jesus Christ. It's not actually the anointing to preach that qualifies me. Amen. The Bible said not being a lord over God's heritage, but an example unto the flock. Amen. I really want you to follow me as I follow Jesus. And in order for me to lead you, I need to follow Jesus very, very closely. Amen. And I want to do that this year and be a better pastor to you in the process of doing that. We're going to receive an offering in just a moment. While you're still standing, let's just pray that what God is doing worldwide, that we would be caught up in this mighty move. God said he would move. He's moving where he is permitted to move, where hungry hearts are reaching out to Him. There is a move of God. And it doesn't matter if it's behind the so-called iron curtain that used to exist or the bamboo curtain in China or the iron curtain. God recognizes no barriers. Even the greatest sinful nations of the world, sin is no barrier to God moving. Where sin doth abound, God said, I will not recognize that as a barrier. My grace will much more, literally in the Greek, it's the word hyper, which means super abound. My grace super abounds where the greatest sin exists, because God is still ready to forgive and to bring restoration. And it doesn't matter if it's Marxist, communist, Hindu, Islam. It doesn't matter where hearts will open to Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a precious man talking to me. He's raised a Jehovah's Witness, and his mother is devout, and that's all that he knew. And last night, in the middle of all the chaos at work, he started asking me about Jesus and how he is perceived, and the 144,000, and are they just us? And I said, well, if they're just y'all, a bunch of y'all ain't going to make it, because there's more than 144,000 of y'all. And I started ministering right out of the same book of Revelation, amen, that John saw an innumerable company of people coming out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And he said, who are these? These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And I said, son, it's not that, you know, it's Jesus that we need to focus on for eternal life. It's Jesus that saves, and whosoever will, this is an open-ended call. Let him come and drink of the river of life freely. And I just got to evangelize and preach. And why would someone be asking me, you know, who is not only Protestant but Pentecostal? On top of that, that's a double negative to some people. Can you say amen about Jesus? Why? Why? Because God is putting hunger in the heart to know not just my religion, my heritage in religion, but about Jesus Christ. What is there about this man? Amen. What does he truly offer? And it's so good not to just argue the points initially, but just point to Jesus. Can you say amen? I believe if I get people head pointed and focused on Jesus, that everything else is going to start falling into place in their life. Praise God. Well, I just love God's holy appointments like that. God, I mean, I couldn't corner somebody raised in that background and try to shove this on them. No, they got to be hungry for it and start asking questions. Praise God. And they're taught not to even talk to people like me, let alone ask us theological questions. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, my theology is all wrapped up in a person, and I just exalt Jesus. Amen. I might not even be able to immediately counter every argument immediately, but I can lift up and exalt Jesus. Everyone can do that. Can you say amen? Let's pray today. We're going to receive the offering if someone will get the tray, and someone is right after this prayer. And I want to thank you for investing in this ministry. I believe this is going to be a wonderful year, even in spite of all the duress that we are under, the economic conditions, all of the other things that we face. I still believe God's people are going to see Him move in their lives. As we seek His righteousness, He's going to come and rain righteousness upon us. And everything else that's needed for a mighty awakening, a mighty revival, will be ours in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that everything else is added to us when we seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Help this to be a year, Lord, when we get single-minded about this thing. Father, we need your miracles. We need your financial blessings. We need breakthroughs in our lives. We need your healing. We need your help to sum it up. But, oh God, all of that comes when we seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Father, let this be a year when in churches all across America that there is a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Not that we just be filled with experiences, but be filled with righteousness. Let us awake to righteousness and sin not. That your name be exalted and that our lives reflect your covenant blessings. And Lord, we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Bless this offering. Amen and amen. Praise God. except for the shaking that is taking place. The sleep would be too deep to bring an awakening. But because of the shaking, I will awaken those that sleep, saith the Spirit of God. For know that I am moving in the midst of your trouble to bring great good unto thee. So trust in me, saith the Spirit of God, and fear not, for I am answering prayer in your nation, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You may be seated, and the offering is being received, and we're going to move toward Holy Communion this morning. Praise God. Amen. We're so glad that you're here today. This new year, it's so vital that we understand that as the Word of God grew and multiplied, then the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And before it grows and multiplies among people outside the church, it grows and multiplies in people in the church. How many know God's Word is designed to grow and to multiply? If the seed finds good ground, it brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Say 100-fold again, if you will. Hallelujah. Amen. That is tremendous fruitfulness. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that God is faithful today. I'm glad Jesus intercedes for me. I'm glad to be part of a celebration this morning of forgiveness. Let's turn back to 1 Peter 3, verse 10 through 12, because as we move in past this scripture and continue to study what all that it means, we're going to find out about happiness and blessing and how to have a truly happy and blessed new year. We get sentiments given that would reflect this statement many times. It's almost traditional for Christians to say have a happy and blessed new year, because just to say a happy new year without a blessed new year wouldn't be really a Christian statement. Because trying to find happiness outside of God's favor and God's forgiveness and God's blessing is futile. Amen? Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the scripture said, and happy is the man who has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. So what the Lord is saying to us is that happiness can never be based on happenings, but God's promise of help no matter what happens. Let me say that again. Happiness can never be based on happenings, because in this world you will have tribulation. Well, you can't have tribulation if everything happens to you is wonderful and good. The only way you can experience thelpsis, tribulation, is because there's going to be some happenings that aren't so good. That doesn't mean the devil is going to defeat you or have control over you, or you're subject to life without God directing. We have to acknowledge that God takes us on our individual and personal journeys, and some of the things you face, I may not face. Some of the things I face, you may never face. I have heard of people facing things that I, after all of these years with the Lord, just thinking about me and my strength and my ability to stand strong in the face of some people that have testified they had grace for, amen, yeah. Going to prison to forgive someone who brutally murdered their loved one, I don't have that in me except God put that in me. There would have to be a special grace given me. I can't say that's in me now, that I'm ready right now. I haven't lost a loved one that way, and I haven't experienced that measure of grace. So I'm standing outside of that circumstance. I can't say that I've got that kind of grace. Amen. Right now, just the thought of that just makes me want to, you know, do something else if I could. You know what I mean? But people that have experienced the grace, they're talking about the love of God. And I'm standing outside of their circumstance, and I'm saying, how could I have that? I'm not anywhere near. I feel like a miniature compared to these giants of the faith. Amen? Amen? But if you were in a circumstance and God gave you grace sufficient, amen, then you would have what you need. And the Bible said he giveth more grace. That means he dispenses grace according to the circumstance that touches our life. Amen? Now, a lot of people in here want to hear that you can manipulate your life into all good happenings. How many have lived long enough to know that things are going to happen? And being a Christian and being developed in faith and all of these other things won't change the fact that we live in a fallen world. It won't change the fact that you live in a faulty body. Can you say amen? My body is faulty. Sometimes the rightest boys bother me. You don't know the rightest boys, Arthur? Sometimes Arthur bothers me. Sometimes when I'm cutting those bags all night long and feeding those lines when the machine is down, sometimes my hands, I stop and I go like this and I say, that's Arthur. Now, I could go somewhere and try to get Arthur cast out of me. See, the problem is they would have to make me young again. They would have to take away all the effects of aging so that I could be just like I was 25 again. Well, that's a wonderful dream, but that's not reality. In reality, your body is aging. And, you know, I used to say Snap, Crackle, and Pop was my breakfast cereal. Now it's the sound of my bones when I get out of bed in the morning. I get up and I hear Snap, Crackle, Pop. Amen. It all changes as you age. Someone said, you know you're getting older when your back goes out more than you do. Now, I've got a pretty strong back, so I don't have to worry about that. Of course, there's other areas. Someone said, you know that you're aging when you sink your teeth into a thick, juicy steak, and they stay there. Amen? And everybody looked at somebody, so I guess we all know who that may apply to in here. Amen? Hallelujah. We're aging. And how many know you've got to kind of adapt? You change certain things as you age. I have to get my rest now. I can't just go like I used to go on 4 hours sleep and work 12 hours and all that nonsense. Now, that fellow back there probably could. Amen. If I could trade bodies with him for a day, oh, how he would appreciate his youth. Can you say amen? Just one day would make him say, wow, it's good to be me in this body. Hallelujah. Someone said the tragedy of youth is that it's such a shame that youth is wasted on the young. Isn't that the truth? Because most young people don't know how to appreciate youth. Amen. God is really good. Someone said another sign of growing older is forgetfulness. Actually, there's three signs of growing old. Literally, one, two, three. One of them, and the number one is forgetfulness. And I can't remember the other two. God is so, we're aging. We live in a fallen world, and we are aging. So how do you find happiness knowing your body's growing older? You live in a fallen world. You have to accept that you do have a faulty body. Amen. And the only way to live successfully in a world like this with these kind of issues, amen, is to find happiness in your relationship with the Lord and not try to find it in the happenings of life. I don't know what's going to happen next week. We've got some things that are going to happen. My mother's in a nursing home. She's developed another physical problem, a hernia around where she had a colostomy, and it could constrict at any time. She could have to be hospitalized. That's a possible happening that I know about. My dad has had a light stroke, and he's having some real weak spells and some things happening. He's 89, going on 90. I could get a call that something has happened to hospitalize him or that he's passed. We've got my father-in-law is he's in a rehabilitation after a hospital stay, and they've given him about 30 days to live, and so something could happen at any time there. My mother-in-law has become so over-dependent on him that she doesn't know how to do anything without him, and it's going to fall back on us, and that's about to happen. These are just a few of the things that I know are about to happen. Amen? Someone... And they're out in the realm of the unknown are things that could happen that I would maybe never dream might happen. I don't know what's going to happen. So my happiness certainly can't be based on happenings. It has to go beyond that. Let me tell you something. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said about sufficient grace and how God grants grace and dispenses grace. There is actually a scripture in the New Testament that says, He giveth more grace. Well, who gets the more grace? Is God distinguishing us? Amen. More grace goes to those that are under much pressure, more trouble than you have. God is going to give more grace to a person, amen, who has just lost a loved one to get through that than he is to you because you got to run in your hose on Sunday morning. and you didn't see it till you got to church. Can you say amen? Best thing I know to do is go take them off. Nobody will see the run in it. Just see your hairy legs anyway. No, I'm just kidding. God is good. Amen. Listen, God gives more grace. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said when she became aware of her own mortality. This was before the Ravensbrück prison camp that her grandpa told her, amen, and when she was very, very young, or her daddy, amen, and that was, what about dying? What about death? I don't know if I've got what I need to face something like that. I kind of fear. I've got concerns and trepidation about that. And he said, Corrie, when we go to a particular place and we take the train, when do we get our ticket? Well, in that day, you didn't get tickets online. You didn't pre-book things. You didn't print out things. You had to go down to the train station and you had to put the money down and someone inside a booth would hand you the ticket. She said, we get the ticket, Dad, just before we get on the train. He said, when the time comes to get on that train, God will give you the ticket. Which literally meant the grace sufficient for your circumstance will come when the circumstance comes. And he giveth more grace. Can you say amen? That's why there are missionaries talking about sacrifices that they made that we may not can really dream about. We don't know how we would react. Because we're not in that circumstance. We're not experiencing that degree of grace. But one thing is for sure, no matter what happens and what we face, his grace is sufficient. If you look to him and trust him, God will give you what you need no matter what. Everybody say no matter what. No matter what. That no matter what, by faith, in the grace that he promised to provide, robs Satan of the fear of the future. All the what ifs are taken out of the way. What if when I fell in the tub, my dad reminded me that a man that he worked with for years lost his son, 30-something years old, because he slipped in the tub and fell and hit his head and they found him dead in the tub. I slipped in the tub. God, feet went straight up in the air. My head came down on a tile ledge. Bam! And I didn't know, how bad I was hurt. I got up. Big old huge knot. I went on to work, got at work, then it started to bleed at work. I sopped it up, stopped the bleeding with cold compresses and worked my whole shift. Went back to work the next day, slipped in oil and water on the floor trying to get a machine unjammed and fell again on a tile floor at work and put another knot and it bled.
Brother, call me on your break.
Yeah.
Tell me what you did.
Called her on my break. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I told her, I said, if I pass out at work, I want somebody to know why I'm passed out. It's because I got these two huge knots on my head. I got probably a double concussion.
I said, you idiot.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, she was very compassionate. You idiot. Why are you at work? By the way, it wasn't an act of faith either. I just didn't feel that bad, and I didn't feel lightheaded. And, it wasn't that I was standing out there on some faith that says, I don't care what happens to me, I just believe and go on. No, it wasn't that. It's just that I didn't feel bad. I mean, it hurt. It was a boo-boo. My old dog, the first sentence I ever heard my granddaughter speak, my great-granddaughter speak, my old dog has has a callus on one elbow where there's no hair. Yeah, old Sophie, and when my great-granddaughter came over and she was looking at Sophie and she saw that callus on her elbow, she said, "Ooh, you got a boo-boo." I just got a boo-boo. Well, it was probably more than a boo-boo. I should have used wisdom and went to a clinic and just let them check and make sure. And Sister Ruth interceded for me and called David. And David called me and David showed concern for me and said, "Now you take care of yourself, amen. You do the right thing." And I appreciated his telephone call and I appreciate everyone's prayers. I just get going and I just don't stop. And someday the Lord might just be trying to stop me for a little while. Can you say amen? There's a scripture that said he maketh me to lay down in green pastures. It doesn't really mean he forces you, but you know what I'm saying. He could if he wanted to. I don't want him to force me to slow down. Amen. God has been good. But there, what I'm saying to you is this. No, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't see that coming. It just happened. And it happened twice in a row. I actually thought the enemy might be trying to take me out. And it's so good to know that he is interceding. It's so good to know that he is in ultimate control. It's so good to know if he wanted me to come home, it wouldn't be the devil taking me out. It'd be God saying, come on, your race is run. So good to be ready to go home. So good to know if I'd went to sleep at work and didn't wake up because of my own foolishness, amen, that I wouldn't have any, that my wife would know where I was. She'd be mad at me for, but she'd know where I was, amen. God gives grace sufficient. I can't imagine doing without my wife. We grew up together. Someone said, you robbed the cradle. No, I didn't. I jumped in it with her. Can you say amen? She was 14, I was 16. We've been married 46 years. That's a long time. We got grandchildren. We got great grandchildren. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has been good to us. And to think I wasn't supposed to live past my 9th birthday because of leukemia. And here I am seeing my children's children's children. Just like Job. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've heard of the patience of Job. Be ye patient, saith the Lord. And you have heard of his latter end, have you not? Be patient that I might give you an expected end. For I have good things in store for you. The enemy has plans for your defeat. I have a plan for your victory. Yea, trust in me that you may walk in that victory, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Grace is sufficient. Because grace is dispensed unto you according to what you are facing. Yeah. Amen. I read the story of the oil rig, true story of a man's testimony of an oil rig that literally capsized. And everybody got off but one man who was trapped in a compartment deep in the oil rig itself. And he was under the water, upside down. In the blackness, total blackness, up to his chest in water with a small air pocket by himself. And I've got his name. I've got the testimony laying on my desk because I used it on the radio about a year ago. I never forgot that illustration because when I talk about the manifest presence of God, how grace involves the presence of God, not just a theological understanding of unmerited favor. You don't just get in a circumstance like that and rehearse, amen, a theological understanding of unmerited favor. That does not help. That's not a time for a lesson in theology. That's a time for a spiritual manifestation that can comfort you when no one else can reach you and comfort you. Grace provides for the manifest presence of God. Say it with me. Grace has provided for the manifest presence of God. That means God can come to you because of grace. The reason grace is sufficient for Paul, when they stripped him over the whipping post, he was not alone. He didn't experience that alone. I love the story of Rex Humbard. I got two stories going. Don't let me forget both of them. Amen. Listen to me carefully. Amen. Because Rex Humbard's dad preached and a lot of the bootleggers in town couldn't sell their wares because so many people in the revival was coming to know Christ as their Savior. So they threatened him to beat him, kill him. If he continued to preach in their town, of course, it was before the closing night of the revival. So on the closing night, there he was in the tent meeting preaching again and more people coming to Jesus. And after the meeting was over, everyone left. There was no sign of trouble. Amen. And he was packing up to leave and they showed up. He had taken money from them in a sense that these people who once bought their bootleg whiskey wouldn't buy it anymore. Because they came to know Jesus and their life was changed. Hallelujah. That's back in the day when your life changed, when you met the Lord. When sinners were saved and converted and transformed, amen, when they met the Lord, amen? And so they beat him. And they kicked him and they punched him. And he was bruised and his ribs were possibly fractured and his eyes were swollen and his nose was bleeding, his lips were bleeding, his teeth were loose from being hit in the face. And he said, I walked away from that beating. And Rex, listening to his dad talk, said, Dad, what did it feel like? What were you experiencing? God didn't intervene and you suffered like that for the sake of the gospel. What did you feel like when you walked away from that beating? He said, Rex, I felt like someone had taken a bucket of honey. But it wasn't really honey, it was liquid love. And they took it and they poured it over my head and it ran down and covered my entire aching body. And he said, I felt so close to Jesus. Everybody say, that's sufficient grace. Say it again, that's sufficient grace. See, when God says, my grace is sufficient, and a preacher stands up and tells you what grace is, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. When you're in a condition like that, are you sitting around pondering the theological implications of grace? Or are you experiencing the presence of God in a personal way like no one else except someone in your circumstance? What's going to happen when you come to die? Grace is going to be sufficient for you. Amen? It's a new experience. I know we're not supposed to be afraid, but we've never done that before. No, I've never done that before. How about you? I've never done that before. It's going to be a brand new experience. I know what happens after it. It's just getting through it. You ever heard the song, you won't have to cross Chile, Jordan alone? Let me clue you in. You don't have to cross Chile, Jordan at all. There's no dark, cold waters to go through. Amen. Amen. To be absent from the body is not to go through the river Styx. Can you say amen? No chilly Jordan. I know what they meant in the song, but to be absent from the body is an instant experience. Amen. It's to be present with the Lord. Amen. Amen. When are you going to get your ticket? When the time comes. Do I have my ticket now? I have an understanding that when the time comes, I'll get it. And that's all I need for now. To not worry about it. Amen? What happens if someone should come in here, put a gun to your head and say, confess Jesus or die? No one has faced that yet. No one knows exactly how you're going to react. We'd like to think we'd all react perfectly. But you haven't been there yet. Fox's Book of Martyrs, I'll never forget the story of them taking the Christians up and throwing them from a high place to be dashed upon the rocks below. And the witnesses who saw them going up to be cast to their death said their face was shining like the faces of angels. There was a manifest presence of God upon them. There was a grace sufficient. Everybody say grace sufficient. If we don't teach the sufficiency of grace, we don't prepare people for the happenings of life. Amen? Amen? We just don't prepare people for the happenings of life. And if we don't prepare people for the happenings of life, that means our God is not strong enough, mighty enough, trustworthy enough that we can entrust with the happenings of life. We have to manipulate through faith those happenings so that everything is... Listen, nothing is going to happen to you outside the knowledge of God. Nothing is going to happen to you outside the will of God if you don't rebel against God and quit trusting Him. We've got some holy murmurs going. Everybody's buying into this other message, but it doesn't change the happenings of life. Amen? Amen? I just want to get it right. And I want to preach it right because when things happen to people, don't tell them when they're hurting that they have a faith problem. That their failed faith brought this upon them. That is not the message of Scripture. God wants you to know it don't take big faith to go through big problems. It just takes a big God that's committed to you. Amen. And you have a God such as that. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient. In that oil rig, this man cried unto God because there was no one else. He cried unto God. And he said, I didn't know if I would live, die, how long I would live, or how I would die. Whether it would be suffering without the oxygen or drowning with the water filling my lungs. He said, I didn't know that. All I knew is I needed God to help me through this. And I cried out unto the Lord, and he said, I can't tell this to anyone that you would have to experience it to understand it. But he said, in the darkness, with no light, I didn't see a light, I didn't see a visage, I didn't have a vision, I didn't have a dream. But in the darkness and the despair of my circumstance, I felt a person near me. A person of such great love, it took away all my fear of what else may happen. And that person was so close to me, I felt like if I reached out in the darkness, I could touch him. And he said, and I knew without seeing who that person was. He said, it wasn't an angel. I know that. It was Jesus. Now listen, did this guy just get, oh, I can hear them now. Well, he was in there and the oxygen wasn't getting to him and he was hallucinating. Amen. Oh, there's all kinds of explanations for the manifest presence of God, but those who experience that are experiencing what grace has provided. Grace allows God to come to you. Can you say, man, you who were a sinner, who couldn't even walk behind that veil without being destroyed or touch that mountain without being destroyed that he was on, now he can come to you. Amen. And he can be manifest to you by the Holy Spirit. Can you say, man? Incredible. Someone asked me, do you give last rites? They don't know preacher from priest, Protestant from Catholic, you know. So there's a guy at work and he's real inquisitive. I can't hardly eat lunch. He's always apologizing for me not eating my lunch. And I eat it later at the next break, so because I'm using wisdom. But he said, Rev, do you ever give last rites? Have you given last rites? I said, well, there's the difference in a priest giving last rites and a pastor or a minister praying with people to receive Christ, amen, as their Savior before they... And I got to testifying about the people that I've been with when they were dying that accepted the Lord and the peace of God that flooded their soul. And I had a captive audience listening to that. And he said, I don't think I could do anything like that. And I said, I couldn't either all over and over and over without the grace of God and the peace of God and the promises. I said, there's such a glorious promise to those who trust Jesus Christ. I was evangelizing because of a question. But I told him about the grace. I told him about being in rooms where my wife and I sensed the entrance of angels. We knew it was angels. Did you see lights? Didn't see anything. Didn't have to see it. Knew it. We both knew. They were there. They came. Praise God. Amen. Remember when Carol asked the question, what happens? Your mother-in-law was dying and we were there together. And I started talking about the fact that when Lazarus died, angels came and escorted him to Abraham's bosom. And the moment I said angels came, angels came. This woman gave up the ghost, breathed her last breath, and angels came. Amen. In that room, there was a sense of a heavenly, angelic presence. And that's grace. That's grace. That's grace. That's grace. When a grandma in the nursing home, when she was Grandma Forsyth's grandmother, amen. When she was passing away at the nursing home, amen, I went in and asked her, was she ready and was she pain? She said, no pain. She's ready. And so we just started praying, me and her daughter and her granddaughter, both of us there, Linda and her mother and me, and an intimate setting around her bed. And the peace of God came, and then the power of God came after the peace of God. When she breathed her last breath, there was a sense of the presence of God that filled our hearts and silence. simultaneously, all three of us began to glorify God in other tongues. And the nurse looked in to see what in the cat hair was going on in that room. Can you say, man? You never heard cat hair. You're from Florida. I'm from Kentucky. Anyway, hallelujah. Amen. And she looked to see what was going on. And with smiles on our face of joy and victory, we said, she's gone. Not gone, gone, but she's gone, gone. There's a difference in gone and gone. Can you say amen? And the funeral, after the funeral for her, the funeral director says, you know, says, I see funerals all the time. Said, this was more like a celebration than a funeral. I said, that's because it was a celebration because our faith declares that she is in the presence of God and she's not sick anymore and she's not aging anymore and she's not hurting anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's victory. Have you ever understood? Have you ever tried to figure out? It's so easy to stand behind a pulpit and tell you about sufficient grace, what it means. Amen. But until there's a manifest presence of God, grace can never be sufficient. It's not enough to have a theological understanding of all of the meaning of grace. We could teach on it for a year, but until you experience its sufficiency through the what? Manifest presence of God. That grace that came on that man. He said, at that point, I could have lived or died. It didn't matter because he was so near me. Amen. The fear left. And he said, for a long time, he just sat in the peace of that presence. And he said what really shook him awake was he heard a pecking on the steel of that oil rig. And divers were coming with an extra oxygen tank. And they came in and got him. And he said, you know, he said, I was so glad to be rescued. But at the same time, I didn't want to leave that presence. Isn't that precious? Hallelujah. What do you do when you're upside down in an oil rig underneath the Gulf of Mexico and you don't know when you're going to die and how you're going to die, but you know you're going to die alone. And here he is. Hallelujah. That, listen, that's worth more than all the silver, the gold, all of the sin, all of the things the world can offer you on a silver, golden platter, having that sufficient grace. Can you say, man, is worth more than anything, more than the universe, more than, ask a man in that condition what he would rather have. If he would rather have someone put money in his account, what good would that do him now? Or have this presence of this Holy One that loves him and assures him that he's with him in life, he's with him in death, and he'll be with him forevermore.
Hallelujah.
That's why true Christians sing, take this whole world, give me Jesus. Can you say amen? That's why the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. When a man finds it for the joy thereof, he sells what he has that he might possess it. Hallelujah. That's why happiness can't be based on happenings, but having God's help no matter what happens. Can you say amen? And we are assured of God's help no matter what happens. That's how the early church got through the heaviest persecutions, martyrdom, torture, all the things. In the book of Hebrews, there are those others who did not accept deliverance because they were looking for something far better than this old world. Can you say amen? How did they get through that? Because when they faced it, grace was sufficient. What happened? How did this sufficient grace work for the first recorded Christian martyr? Amen. For Stephen, who is being stoned to death. What did he say before dying? What did he say? He said, I see heaven opened. I look beyond this life. And I see it. God just gave him a panorama. He opened up the heavens. He let him look through this veil. Amen. And he said, and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Not just standing alone to receive Him, as I've often taught, to honor Him for His faith and faithfulness, but standing to make intercession for Him. He ever lives to what? Make intercession. That guy is facing an awful thing right now. Father, give him grace. Okay, Father, does what? Opens his eyes and lets him see beyond this life. And he says, I don't fear what's about to happen to me anymore. Not only didn't he fear it, I don't even think he felt it anymore. He was so caught up in the heavenlies. Because the Bible said, and he fell asleep. Honey, if you can be, while you're being stoned, if you can, now I know that represented he gave up the ghost. His spirit left his body. But when a big old rock hits your head and you see a white light and you go out and you go up, that's not exactly suffering. Amen. While they piled the rocks upon him to make sure he was dead, there may have been a twitch or two in the nerves of that old body, but that man had vacated it. Hallelujah. Absent from the body is where? Present with the Lord. Instant death, instant glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That is sufficient grace. Every time you see sufficient grace, I want you to understand what I'm telling you is what God is able to do for you, what He's going to give you. If you need more grace, He'll give you more grace. Can you say amen? But you get your ticket when you face the circumstance. So we don't live in fear of what may happen. We live in the faith that God is faithful no matter what happens. And say it with me, His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. His strength is made perfect when we are at our weakness to cope, our weakness to take it, our weakness to our weakest is where His strength shows up greatest. To them that hath no might, He increases strength. Hallelujah. And it's because of grace. Grace is so much more. So much more. It doesn't just allow God to forgive. It allows Him to come to you. Everybody say, to come to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. God knows how to deliver the righteous. And the first thing God does is come to you. In Jesus and in the Holy Spirit, He comes to you and He comes to me. And if His grace isn't sufficient, then we fit a profile that we should never enter into without hope and without God in this present world. Grace says you will never be without God, so you will never be without hope. Can you say amen? No matter what happens. No matter what happens. I still hear on television a bit of a funeral. And at the end of most of those funerals that are televised, some preacher standing there and say, we commit at the committal. We commit this body to the ground and to God who, back to God who gave it in the certain hope of the resurrection. Grace has made a provision for everything that we need in life. And I'm so glad. I feel so rich to have sufficient grace today. Hallelujah. Don't you miss this. It's so vitally important that you look for Him in the time of trouble. Not just Him to solve everything so you don't have the pressure, but Him. Once you achieve that place of faith where you are so satisfied with His presence in your life, amen. He can take you through. He can take you out. It will be at His discretion. You won't be pushing God to do anything. Can you say amen? And in your patience, you'll possess your soul. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We love you today. Have you got anything out of this message this morning?